Welcome to the Power of Synergy. I'm your host, Gabrielle Cardona, and let me just start off by saying I really apologize for being 12 minutes late today. Anybody who is still watching or waiting for me to show up, well, I'm here now. I hope maybe that people will look in the archives, because if they're not here, this will always be available. And that's one of the great things about this radio station and my show. You can look back under the name of my show, the title of my show, and you can see the things that I've done in the past. I've been in the radio business for about 5 years now. And so I've actually been working in this industry for about 17 years. And it wasn't until someone actually said to me, "Why aren't you on television?" Because I've been working with clients for about 12 years. And I said, "Well, I don't know." And they said, "Well, why aren't you on the radio? You're literally talking to people one at a time, trying to save the Titanic with a teaspoon." And I thought, "Oh my gosh, you're right. You know what? I could talk to the whole world at once. So this is what I'm going to do." So I'm going to have to modify my show a little bit based on the 13 minutes into the hour. Okay. So I'm going to cut out some of it, but not all of what I was planning to say, because you know what? I was going to make my show today about, people and their synergy. The whole point of synergy is what we create when we come together, when we unite. Well, you know what? It could be a good thing or a bad thing, because as people, we have a lot of power. We can use our power to do good things or bad things. But you know what? We don't get, you know, we add, if I'm three and you're two, we don't add up to five. No, actually, it's not even six. It's two to the third power. That's eight. Okay, well, what's two to the 15th power? Oh my gosh. You know what? Two times two times two times two times two times two times two times. Oh my gosh. Do you understand that when you come together with someone, if you are an eight, well, they might only be a two, but you augment them, you multiply them many times over. And so when people say, "Oh, so you're a counselor, or you're a psychiatrist or a psychologist," I say, "No, I'm a coach. I don't try to fix people where they're broken. I actually give them very detailed and specific answers about how to increase not only their power as an individual, but their understanding and their responsibility and their accountability to each other. When we come together, we become very powerful. How do you see the influence and the effect that you have on other people as far as your responsibility to them, your accountability, not only to them, because you're coming together with them and you are affecting them, but the people around you who are affected by the way that you are affecting the person that you're interacting with?" Most people don't really think about that. They don't really take the time to think about that, the power that they have. So what I'd also like to do is open up the lines. Anybody who wants to call and ask me a question, because I do kind of charge a lot of money. When I have someone as a client, yes, I do only see them for 3 to 6 months, unlike a therapist or a psychiatrist or a psychologist. Yeah, you know, you could see them for 5, 10, 15, 20 years. When you come to me and ask me a question, I give you a very detailed, very accurate answer that you can put to very practical use. So I can charge a little bit of extra because, okay, the number is 888-627-6008. And I think that my producer just reminded me to remind everyone. I don't really know how many new listeners I have, but yeah, the time isn't the same. The time slot's not the same. So when they're getting a new time, they might need to adjust their schedule, or for the first few weeks, they might just need to go listen to the archives. So if you have a question, then you can go ahead and ask me. You might not be able to afford my rate. You will really be able to just say, "Okay, I have one or two questions. I don't even need you for the 3 to 6 months." Then I can say, "Okay." Then if you have a specific question, maybe about something that I said to someone else about a topic that you might never have thought about before, this is your chance to call in and ask me anything that you want. And it's free. Okay. So again, the number to this station is 888-627-6008. Okay. So today what I'm going to be talking about really is something fundamental, something very basic. But sometimes we think if it's basic, then it's easy. Not really. Or if it's simple, then you know what? It's going to be fun, easy. And no, not really. Sometimes the most simple things can be the hardest things, because they require a lot of effort. They require a lot of focus and a lot of thought, not only in the moment, but forethought. Okay, so sometimes when you're sitting here going, wonder what I should do. Sometimes we get lost in our own thoughts. And a lot of people, when they're really trying very hard to have a relationship, a healthy relationship with someone, they just don't know what to say or what to do. And that creates very difficult, very challenging feelings inside of them that distract them. They distract them from even the interaction that they were going to have with someone else. Again, the number for the station is 888-627-6008. So what I'm going to be talking about is human behavior, how we affect each other, but also how we relate to each other, our personalities. Yeah, you know what? We got a lot of personality profile systems and tests. Now, there's something that people have heard of. There's a profile system that a lot of people are familiar with, but they really don't have accurate information. So I'm going to be kind of going through the logistics of it, the basic elements of it, but I'm going to be explaining it in a slightly different way because I get a lot of challenges from people that they might not even like personality profile systems in the first place. They can say, you know what? I don't like personality profile systems because that is a get out of jail free card when you don't have to really get to know me. If you classify me and you label me as something, then you're not really going to get to know me personally because you think you know everything about me already. No, that's not true. All the profile system does is it helps people understand themselves and become more healthy in the things that they say and do and are with other people. And even sometimes more importantly with themselves. Think about that. How important is it to you to be a healthful version of you? Yeah, how do you do that? Well, I'm going to give you the different elements. There are four letters in this system. One is about your social energy. One is about your general focus. One is about how you make decisions. And one is about how you carry those decisions out. Now, think about this. If there are four options, or four different elements, and there are two options for each one, that means there are 16 different possible personalities. That's a lot of variety. Even though there's only really two options for each dichotomy, yeah, that's not very, but you know, that you mix and match them a whole bunch of different ways, that could be an infinite number of versions of each personality as well. So I'm going to go ahead and just stick to the well, but you know what? Let me just say this too, because I'm kind of trying to rearrange my time based on the fact that I started late. Okay. Another thing that people say, and this kind of frustrates me a lot, before I even tell you what the dichotomies are, I'm just going to tell you, very popular, very common response I get is, oh, well, I do both. Okay, yes. We all do both. Okay, your personality is not what you do. Your personality is how you feel while you're doing it, what is the easiest and most natural for you to do, what brings you the most pleasure to do. Yeah, and what you're really good at naturally. Okay, so keep that in mind as I go through these dichotomies. Well, you don't really change. It's not really something that can be altered, even with instruction, because again, you are born with a personality. What you do is just your behavior, how you feel while you're doing it. That is your personality. Okay, so let me see. Now, let me just also preface this by saying, everybody has to learn how to do everything. So keep in mind that what you're currently doing in your life might not be the true you. It could be a very good modified version of you doing things that are not true to you. Because with enough practice or possibly even instruction, we can do everything. And that's pretty cool about humans. We do a lot of different things and we do it a lot of different ways. Yeah, as long as you practice, as long as you have a good attitude and you spend a lot of time focusing on that, practicing, and you can do anything. Okay, so let's start with the different dichotomies. The first one is about your social energy. And again, if you're just coming on and you're just checking back in because we started a little late today, the number to this station is 888-627-6008. Okay, so the first dichotomy is about your social energy. Let me just say a very cachet buzzword that I don't know when it actually started, but really took over is ambivert. There are no ambiverts, and I'll tell you why. Because in your personality, you do some things in an introverted way. You will do some things in an extroverted way. Even if you're an extrovert, you will have to do certain activities with an introverted orientation. And even if you're an introvert, you're just going to have to do certain things in an extroverted way. So let me go ahead and ask. Now, what again would be the easiest for you, the most pleasurable for you? Yeah, you know what? Okay, let's think about the last time you actually did this. Well, you know what? There's some good questions, because when I'm asking people, have you ever taken the test? They say, yeah. And it confused me because I do both. Okay, so let's just ask the very first basic question of your social energy. When you have a person in your life that you like, how eager are you to call them your friend? Yeah, you know what? You can like a lot of people, but an introvert would say only special people, very, very special people that I have an intimate and emotional bond with, a connection with, I call them my friend. An extrovert would say, you know what? We get along. We get along great. Yes, I'm friends with anyone that I get along very well with. Okay, so from birth to death, we're talking about 80 years of life, and they'll probably have some about 50 friends. So they're going to have about 4,000 friends, an extrovert would, just because they like them, and you can never have too much of a good thing. Okay, so then that kind of moves into the second question that I ask people. What if you had a very special event, a very important event in your life, experience that you know will be a defining moment for you? You want to have as many people there as possible, and you want to be the center of attention, and you are absolutely fine having that event go on and on and on and on, hours. Or do you just want it to be the special people, like, for example, your friends, family members, or people who were related to that special event that contributed to that special event? Okay, yeah, you might be an introvert if you just want a few people. If you want as many as possible, you're an extrovert. Okay, that's the third question that I ask people. How about when you're talking to a few people? You know what? If you're in a large group of people, you might have to raise your voice a little bit in order to be heard. And that's okay, because there's going to be a lot of people talking around you. And that's okay, because you're uncomfortable. Okay, an introvert would say, you need to bring the volume down. An extrovert would say, that's okay, because I can always turn it back up as long as I got enough people around me. They're giving me that energy and they're giving me that excitement and that stimulation. Yeah, I'm okay. Well, okay, then let's talk about the fourth question that I ask people. Do you really mind when people interrupt you? Okay. See, an introvert, since they're not speaking very loudly, they don't need to compete with other people in the room. They want people to listen when they talk. An extrovert would say, well, you know, I'm going to keep talking until I get everything out that I wanted to say. And I understand that other people are going to do that too. So sometimes we have to interrupt each other. And that's okay. I'm okay talking over that person, because we're both going to hear what each other is saying, even if we have to repeat it several times, because we can talk on and on and on and on. No, an introvert would say, I don't appreciate that I'm being interrupted. I can wait until it's my turn to talk. Okay, yeah, you know what? You know, you can definitely tell right now what you are. If we're talking about taking a test that you've paid $300 for, then you'll probably have 200 questions. And it's almost ironically, the more questions you ask, the less sure you are. Simply, again, because most of what you do could very well be not who you are right now. Okay, Keep that in mind as we go on to the second dichotomy, the second letter of your personality. So the first one is either going to be E or I, extrovert or introvert. Had a good lunch today. Okay, so the second letter is S or N, sensory or intuitive. Now, again, the word intuitive begins with I, but I has already been designated to the introvert word, so it's N for intuitive. There are a few different questions that kind of make you go, well, I don't know. I do both. It's very possible that you do both. So let me explain conceptually what sensory and intuitive are in this particular personality profile system. Sensors really like to know what's going on around them. intuitives like to know what's going on inside of them. Now, think about this really in a practical way. We have our eyes and our nose and our mouth and our ears and our skin. We have constant stimulation around us in the world, things going on around us, stimulation in an olfactory way, in a visual way, in an audio way. And a sensor would say, okay, I want to know what's going on. Very aware of all the things that I want to engage in what's going on. Okay, because then that's like a sponge absorbing everything and sharing it with our mind and our heart and our body, and then our mind is kind of doing something else. I wonder what that means. And there's kind of an internal world going on that you can reflect on and ponder and make the connection of. Why would that happen? And I wonder in the future potentially. I'm sorry, what? Did you say something? Oh, that's something going on around me. Sensors are externally focused. Intuitives are internally focused. And I just had a really weird feeling about that. They can actually ignore what's going on all around them. So let me ask you again some very pointed questions. They're very simple questions. Okay, let's say you're in a place where there's some food and it's very interesting looking food, and you see something and you're going to try something new. It looks kind of scary. I've never tried it before. And it might be good. It might not. A sensor would say, let's try it. And it's almost, if it's bad, that's almost a good thing. Okay. Yeah. An intuitive would say, you know what? I know I like that. So I'm just going to enjoy what I know I enjoy. I don't have to be overly stimulated, because a sensor would say, that was so bad. It was great. Simply because, yeah, that made my life better. Okay. Another question that I love to ask. And when people say, well, you know, I'm both, it depends on how I'm feeling that day. Wrong. Here's another very, very pointed question. When you have been driving or in a vehicle where you're not necessarily taking your time, you're kind of going quickly. And so there's a lot of things like people and like locations and buildings and signs around you. And you've gone somewhere, it's a new, and then you leave. And then how quickly would you be able to get back to where you were? Okay, honey, an intuitive would get lost walking around the block, even to a place they've been several times. A sensor remembers the details, not necessarily always the names, but they remember landmarks, and they remember striking things about the places that they have gone. I love this. I'm just going to tell a personal story now. My husband and I sometimes deliver food just for fun, for extra money. And last night I said, you know what? We can't stop at that restaurant where you really want to eat the tacos that are on sale, because we're literally in the middle of a delivery. Sometimes he'll stop at the place where we're delivering from and he'll eat. And I said, our destination for this delivery is 2.5 miles away and it's in Seattle. So we're going like this. He's like, okay, yeah, I can deliver it, because in 5 minutes I can come right back. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm an N. I literally got lost on the way to the house. He does not use a GPS. He does not use any kind of system. When we dumped the food, he literally went, okay. He went back and he knew exactly where it was. Wow. Yeah, sensors remember everything. Intuitives, yeah, no, we can kind of forget. Now, which begs the next question that I love to ask people. Can you literally be looking at something? Like, I'm looking, where's the peanut butter? Where is it? I swear, I just put it away. A sensor would come up and go, it's right here in front of your face, and laugh at you. But you know what? Seriously, because even if we're looking at something, our focus is on what's going on inside of us. Yeah. How often do you have someone say to you, here it is, right here? Okay. Then you're probably in an intuitive. If you're telling other people, how can you not see it? Then you might be more likely to be a sensor. Okay. And then the other thing that I ask people, when you are considering something, when you're reflecting on something, are you focused more on the immediate here and now, the tangible things that are going to affect your life and your decisions right here, right now? Or are you thinking about, because that is related to this. And so if it's connected to in a couple months, because of all of these other factors, you're going to come to this. You know what? I think what's probably going to happen. Well, but you know what? It might not. Well, what if in this hypothetical position of going this? Oh my God. A sensor would say, what are you doing? There's no way you can know what's going to happen next week, because next week is not just a week away. It's 7 days away. That's what I think, 168 hours away. Do you have any idea how much can happen in 168 hours? I'm not going to waste my time ignoring everything around me just to speculate and hypothesize about what could potentially happen. Honey, if it's meant to happen, it'll happen. Let me get back to whatever it was I was doing with my hands and my eyes. Yeah, okay. So you'll know pretty much. And if you really have a hard time answering that, committing to that, especially that one dichotomy, then you might have some repressed instincts. You need to let that out, and you need to get back in touch with which one is more comfortable, pleasurable, natural, well done for you when you're being the real you. So the third letter, we'll just go ahead, and anybody who's jumped onto the show here, the number again is 888-627-6008. Feel free to call in and ask any questions about the things that I'm going to be going over here, especially in the next, I want to say, 20 minutes or so. Okay, so the third part of your personality is how you make decisions. Now, this one, I think it's really hard, genuinely hard for people, because when they hear the letters, the T and the T is for thinker, the F is for feeler, they don't want to be a feeler, because that almost is a bad thing. They want to be a thinker, because that means you're smart. No, it doesn't. No, it doesn't. A lot of thinkers are extremely stupid people. And when people are feelers, they're not overly emotional. A lot of thinkers get very emotional. What the words, the terms mean in the context of this personality profile system are making a decision based on logistics, on logical, analytical, rational facts. You are a thinker. If you make your decisions based on loving, consideration, unselfish generosity for the well-being of other people, you're a feeler. Yeah, they're both absolutely important. They are both vitally important. They're invaluable in life, because the world needs both kinds of things to be done. The world needs both kinds of people. Yeah, we need thinkers to remain focused and understanding and comprehensive when we have this facts. Yeah, well, which one are you? Okay, well, no, you know what? I actually care about people. Things don't have to make sense in life, and I don't have to take all the pieces apart to enjoy something, especially when it's about people. Even if you're an introvert, you can still be very feeler, because the time that you're with people, you can be loving and caring and sensitive and generous. And what I love about people like my daughter, I just, every time I'm with her and when I see her, when I hear her talk about things in her life, I'm blown away, because she has this endless supply of caring and generosity and genuine interest, unselfishness. She can give and give and give, and she rarely has a short supply of giving more. Now, sometimes that means she can neglect herself. But you know what? All you have to do is learn how to take care of yourself. That doesn't have to be a character flaw. But if you're not sure, just based on the things that, well, when you're making a decision, keep in mind, again, that intuitives think a lot. But that doesn't mean they're a thinker. So think about now specifically what an example of a thinker would do. So if you had to bear bad news, if you had to tell someone something that was going to make them very sad, it's going to hurt them, would you find a way somehow to get out of it, make someone else do that? Because if you knew that what you were saying to them was causing genuine pain for them, it would make you feel just as bad as it made them feel. Or would you just say, hey, you know what? Sometimes life sucks. You'll be fine. You'll be okay. I have faith that you can handle the truth. Then you're probably a thinker. If you're very concerned about being anything that would create discomfort for someone else, then you're probably a feeler. The next question, because I got a whole lot of these, but this is one I actually like a lot, because as an NT, you definitely, if you watch my show, you know that I'm a thinker. How much does it actually bother you to debate with someone or disagree with someone, maybe banter back and forth, to say, so if we're talking about a principle, like something that will be passed, right, in the government in some way, what are the pros and what are the cons? Well, you know what? They might even be able, a thinker might even be able to say, I'm going to think about it from both perspectives. And I'm going to argue with myself about both sides and the advantages and disadvantages. And Aphila would say, why do we need to fight? Why do we need to argue? Let's somehow come to an agreement so that when we come together, our positive energy is going to create something very beneficial. A thinker would say, well, how am I going to know unless I actually sort out the information with the details and then kind of maybe take it apart, look at it from a different perspective and okay, we've got that. But I don't know. But then, well, would you do it? Well, I wouldn't do it. Why in the hell? Do you know how stupid that would be to do something like that? Healer would never talk that way to someone else because that might hurt their feelings. You don't have to hurt people's feelings. You can absolutely do something, say something without being mean. Mean people suck. Yeah, that's something a feeler would say. And then the last question I ask, what if you have never been to medical school and someone said to you, you know what, someone that you love very much is on the deathbed. They have a condition. They need immediate surgery. And here's the book on how to perform surgery. As long as you're working on all the tools that you need, as long as you're working on that person, you will save their life. How hard would it be for you to perform a procedure on someone you love, knowing that in order to save their life, you have to hurt them because there's no painkiller? Well, you know what? A thinker would say, okay, so I'm just got to compartmentalize. And you might even say to someone, okay, you know what? It's okay. You're doing great. No problem. A feeler would be like, I can't even read the book. I'm so worried about their pain and their suffering. How am I supposed to read a book about something that's very complicated, like surgery, because you have to understand anatomy and physiology? Okay, then you're probably a feeler. A thinker would say, you know, life is tough, and it's okay. As long as we get the solution to the problem, we fix what's wrong, yeah, it was worth the pain and suffering. Okay, so by this time, you know if you're a thinker or a feeler. And the last letter of your personality, a perceiver or a judger, well, that's when you've made a decision in a thinking or a feeling way. Which one are you more likely to want to do in your behavior as you're carrying the decision out? A perceiver or a judger, P or J? Now, some people would say judgers are judgmental. Well, honey, so are perceivers. Okay, so it's not any better or any worse to be one or the other. But the overview, what I basically tell people is, perceivers are people who they kind of go flexible, they're spontaneous, they're adjustable, they're adaptable. And a judger is someone who is very structured and very consistent and very predictable. They like to make sure that everything that they do is the formally established and generally acceptedly consistent way of doing things. A perceiver would say no, because you know what? We can start with the rules and the expectations and the standards, but real life isn't that way, and you can't always abide by the rules because situations are all different. A judger would say, no, you need to make them the same because that's the only way we're going to have consistent peace and harmony and success in the world around us, but also with the people. So let me ask you some questions about your preferences and your natural tendencies and inclinations. Now, one of my favorite questions to ask people, and I usually ask this last, but I really want to have some fun today. Let's say it's going to be a busy day and you kind of got to manage your time. Do you like to write to-do lists? You know what? Judgers love to-do lists. And perceivers like them, you know, and they might write some things. No, a judger really, really likes to be very accurate and organized, and they're going to keep that list. Sunrise to sunset till the end of their day, a perceiver probably would lose their list halfway through the day because you know what? Other stuff comes up that you didn't know about when you were writing your list, and you have to adapt to your environment. A judger would say, no, I'm going to not only get every single thing on this list done, but I'm marking it off when it is done, and I feel fulfillment. And if I did something that wasn't on the list, well, you know what? I'm going to write it on the list just so I can scratch it off, which begs the next question. You know what? Are you more excited at the beginning of an activity or at the end? Yeah, a perceiver gets all their energy in the beginning and they kind of run out. A judger starts out, okay, this is good. And the closer and closer and closer they get, the more excited they get. If they don't finish something, they get nuts. Yeah, judgers really do need to finish. Perceivers Not so much. Okay, so now then let's think about this. The next question is, if you have an appointment at 10 o'clock and the things going on in your life aren't happening the way that you planned, how important is it to you to be loyal to your commitments? You know what? What if your doctor's appointment was 10 a.m.? Well, you got something going on that could make you 5 minutes late or 55 minutes early if you adjust it and got this so you can reorganize and make sure you got this done and you got to kind of say, okay, would you rather be 5 minutes late or 55 minutes early? You know what? A judger hates being late. Perceivers are, well, I know I'm not happy that I'm late. Obviously, I'm not happy that I'm late, but you know what? That's just the way life is. A judger would say, no, absolutely not. It is not negotiable. I have to make sure that I follow through on my commitments based on what I committed to. Okay, so how about, you know what? The last one, just rules and laws in general. How important are they for you, for your own internal happiness to comply, right? You got to obey them. You have to honor those things and cooperate with them. Well, you know what? Perceivers see laws as guidelines and principles of good boundaries, right? Because those things are needed in order for society to work together, because there's some consistency there. But a judger would say, no, they are absolutely not negotiable. And anybody who does not follow those, they're undermining the society. They're undermining everyone else who is complying. You don't get to do that. And you know what? What if I said, no one's going to know if you break the rules? A perceiver would go, okay, well, cool. That might afford me more opportunities to do other things because my kinds of, and you know what? Okay, so I'm going to do it a little bit differently. That way I can do other, a judger would say, but I'm going to know, and it's going to make me crazy that I didn't do it consistently. No, I can't enjoy that. I can't get off on something like that because my standards are about abiding by the standards. Okay, so you know what? Let's talk about E or I, S or N, T or F, P or J. You mix all of those up. One of the things that I tell people is everybody as functional human beings is going to do all of them. You have to. You can't make it through life unless you do all of them. Again, the most important thing to remember is there are 16 different ways to manifest those. Let's look at your functionality. The principles of functionality are, what am I going to do the most? What am I going to do the best? What is going to be the easiest for me? Yeah. What brings me the most pleasure? Okay, yeah, think about that. Now, let's use an example. What I'm going to explain to you is the first and last letter of your personality are going to indicate the two middle letters of your personality. Now, again, the two middle letters are either going to be S or N and T or F. You are going to have to S sometimes. You're going to have to be sensory. You're going to have to N, that's intuition. You're going to have to T. You will make thinking decisions, and you're going to need to F. Feeling, you will have to do feeling. Again, if you want to call in, if you have any questions or even comments, I'm interested in hearing your opinion. The number is 888-627-6008. Okay, now, this might get a little confusing, so if you want to pull pen and paper out, that's fine. Or if you just want to replay this, because the show's going to be archived, that's great. The last letter of your personality is going to indicate which of the two middle letters will be extrovertedly oriented. That means one of your middle letters is going to have an extroverted inclination. The other middle letter is going to have an introverted inclination. That's because nature is about balance and staying centered within yourself. You will have to be introverted sometimes. You will have to be extroverted. It's just a question of which one do you do more. Well, that's what your first letter is going to tell you. Are you more inclined towards your extroverted activities or your introverted activities? So the J or the P is going to let you know whether it's the NS or the TF letter that is extroverted. Now, a P has the second letter of their personality extroverted. A J has the third letter of their personality extroverted. Because the second letter where you focus, that's your perception. The third letter, making decisions, requires your judgment. Okay, so that means if let's use ESTP. I love that one because that's my husband. Okay, so the P of an ESTP, the P makes his S extroverted. Well, and he's an extrovert, so his extroverted S is what he does most. Well, if his S is extroverted, then that means his T of an ESTP, that means his T is introverted. Okay, so yeah, then that means that he does the S in an extroverted way, the T in an introverted way. So he's going to want to do the extroverted S activity more than he does the introverted T activity. So then when it comes to the other things like the N, which is not his personality, and the F, which is not his personality, how is he going to do those? And which one is going to be extroverted, introverted? Which one is he going to want to do more than the other? Now, what nature, the balance principles really are always going to tell you is if one of them is one way, the other one is going to be the other way. And balance. Okay, you got to make sure it comes back to being center. If you have a dominant, which is the one you like to do most, system letter, let's say the extroverted sensing, that's what you want to do the most. Well, the other part of the dichotomy, sensing intuition, the N, you're not going to want to do that at all, but it's also going to be introverted. So if your dominant extroverted sensing is number one, two, three, four, that means your introverted intuition is going to be very, very last. You're not going to want to do it at all. Okay. But then your introverted thinking means the extroverted feeling, you know what? It's not that bad. It's not that hard for you to do, but you're not going to want to do it as much as your introverted thinking. Extroverted feeling is good. Introverted intuition is good. It's just going to be harder for an ESTP to do those two activities because they're not his personality and they're not his orientation. So the key, well, the question really is how much should you do number one? How much should you do number two? How much should you do number three? How much should you do number four? The bottom line is, you need to do your number one activity for 8 hours a day. So again, when we're talking about an ESTP, his extroverted sensing, my husband needs to spend 8 hours a day doing stimulating and externally focused activities of sensing, but he wants to do them with other people. He needs to do that for 8 hours a day. That's a really cool activity when he is delivering food, when he is cooking, when he is landscaping with other people, when he's doing manual labor activities that include other people being verbally engaged with them. That's number one. We call it the dominant function. If he can be with people being focused on his environment for 8 hours a day, he's happy. But then his introverted thinking, which is number two, we call that auxiliary. He should only do that for 3 or 4 hours a day, half as much as he does his dominant function. Introverted thinking. Yeah, I think. Okay, I'm sorry, what? It's time to be extrovertedly sensing right now. Because you know what? I need to do it twice as much as I do that. So the introverted thinking opposite is extroverted feeling. Well, he should only do that for 2 to 3 hours a day. Not two, about 2 hours a day, which is half of what he's doing is introverted thinking. Yeah, extroverted feeling, you know what? Since it's not his personality, the best way for him to do his extroverted feeling activities is while he's being sensory. You know what? If he can infuse that activity into his sensing activities, then that's excellent because he can actually be genuinely focused on the well-being of other people that he's being sensorily, stimulatingly, interactively with. Yeah, you can say, okay, now remember, you need to pay attention to their emotional needs and maybe make some decisions. There are very stupid decisions, but hey, if I'm creating great stimulation for them and I'm creating some gratification, yeah, that's a great way for me to infuse my extroverted feeling into my extroverted sensing. And what does he hate more than anything? Introverted intuition. Oh my God, you know what? That's his inferior function. I don't know if I said the third one is tertiary. So there's dominant, auxiliary, tertiary, and then inferior functions. Okay, well, you know what? Being introvertedly intuitive means, okay, now imagine this. I'm going to completely ignore everything going on around me, right? Because I'm getting into my mind. And then I'm ignoring all of the people around me because I'm being introverted. So I need to reflect on Possibilities. Potentially in the future. Why would he be connected to that? He's not even making a decision. He's just thinking about things, taking the pieces apart, putting them back together. Hold on, I'll be right with you. Oh my God, that's horrible. And it's horrifying. As an inferior function, he shouldn't do that for more than an hour and a half a day, per day. If he does that for more than that period of time, it's bad because it's suffocating. It's literally drowning his extroverted sensing. Let me ask you something. Do you believe that it's harder and worse for people to not do what they are or to do what they're not? Because you know what you're thinking? Well, they happen simultaneously, so it's kind of horrible. No, it's not. Those are two totally different things. When you are not doing what you truly are, I liken the dominant function to breathing. You are suffocating yourself. And I liken the inferior function to running. You are putting forth so much effort. Not that running is a bad activity. You just need to put limitations on how much, because you're stressing yourself out. You are repressing yourself. You are overexerting yourself. God. Yeah, but you know what? The great thing is there's another personality type out there that loves introverted intuition. You know what? They're called INFJs and INTJs. Okay, they love introverted intuition. They're the people who come up with Facebook and Microsoft. They can sit. I'd be totally fine for 8 hours a day, because when they come out of that and they actually say in an extroverted thinking or extroverted feeling way, what they just spent 8 hours a day pondering and reflecting on, they come up with something brilliant. Yeah, it's okay to be an ESTP. It's great to be an INFJ, because different things need to get done in different ways. Okay, so if we're talking about, again, the ESTP, the auxiliary function, his auxiliary function of introverted thinking that can be done in an extroverted, or I'm sorry, in an introverted intuitive way, well, then his extroverted feeling, yeah, if he's doing it in an extrovertedly sensing way, he shouldn't do it for more than a certain period of time. That's okay, because, again, all of these different activities that he is manifesting, that he is displaying, that he is exercising throughout the day, keeping himself centered. What's worse for him, to have too much extroverted feeling or stopping his introverted thinking? Don't do that. You need to make sure that the way that you take care of yourself is very holistic. It's very organic and it's very real. So when you're around other people and you learn about them and you say, wow, you know what? I love the way you are, and I appreciate the things that you do, and I'm impressed by what you are and what you say and how you think and feel and what you do, because that's not me, but it's vitally important to the success and happiness and harmony of the world. So then you ask yourself, and this is a thing that I wanted to touch just kind of the surface, because you can stop and think about this and ask yourself very honestly when you're alone, when you have time, okay, what's the issue? When you're doing something that's not successful and you're not happy, you're having to do it way too hard and it's still not working, there's one of three topics, one of the three different factors I say. Is it because you, in your true nature, you're just off center, or something inside of you needs to be taken care of? Stop doing the activity. Get yourself back up to a high quality state, then re-engage, go back to that activity. Your performance has completely changed. Or is it, you know what? This is just a lower function. This is just something I suck. I'm horrible at it. Okay, so you have some choices. Stop doing it and, you know, designate it, delegate it to someone else and say, yeah, you know what? I know you're really good at this. Go ahead and do it for me, because I've capped out in my time allotment for the day. Or is it an issue that you actually have around whatever that activity triggers? Then you might need to see a professional, someone who can say to you, what really is the core of the origin of your struggle with this activity that has nothing to do with the activity itself? Pragmatic, what's going on? There is something else that is connected to that that we need to get back into a high quality state. So when you're doing that, it's very smooth and very gratifying and very successful. If you know how to figure yourself out, there are things that you can do and you can say, yeah, I want to tell the people in my life the honest truth, the best thing that you can tell them. This is what I need. People love that. You create positive energy when you tell them, this is what will make me a better soul. Again, thank you so much for watching today. Sorry about the late start, but always let people know that the archives, all this information is accessible. And if you ever want to ask me a question, the email is thepowerofsynergy.bbsradio@gmail.com. And I'm only going to be every other week, but if you have any questions between shows, please don't hesitate to ask. I might make it a topic for one of my shows. Thank you so much for watching. I'm Gabrielle Cardone. The power of synergy. This is BBS Radio.